Welcome. You're about to be ushered past the velvet rope and into a world of hyper-effective salesmanship that's understood and used only by the world's most notoriously rich and successful marketers. We're taking a journey deep inside the human brain, past the surface clutter, and into the psychological insights to answer the one crucial question: what makes people buy? I'm your host, Kevin Rogers, along with the most ripped off and respected copywriter alive, John Carlton. And this is Psych Insights for Modern Marketers. Hi, welcome to Psych Insights. It's Kevin Rogers. John Carlton will join us in just a second. Here is the rant for today's show. You don't need to be an introvert to be a good copywriter. However, most of the outstanding ones I've known are. You might not realize it when you see them stalking a stage at a seminar or yucking it up at the bar, but they're mimicking extrovert behavior, which they've picked up by studying the real thing in the field. And that's it, John. And this is a fascinating subject, and a lot of people have strong opinions about it. The thing that was so interesting about the Facebook post, immediately you had a flood of comments, and people who normally wouldn't even jump in to a thread like this, guys like, you know, Frank Kern and all kinds of people, everybody had thoughts and opinions and identities with this. And for the first time, I think they were looking at it as finally someone speaking up for the introverts here.
Yeah, and I think one of the actual post on FB was a little longer, and I think we pulled some of that to be able to go over it in more detail on this call. Mm-hmm. But it's the idea that this is an extroverted world, and introverts just live in it. However, when you dig a little deeper, any kind of research comes up with the fact that introverts are actually running the show. They are actually the ones doing the deep thinking, doing the critical thinking, observing to the point that they understand what's going on to a better degree, and actually making a lot of the changes. I mean, people like Steve Jobs, Wozniak for sure, FDR, Churchill. These people were introverts. What was that book that article that we were passing back and forth recommended? You said there was a woman doing a TED Talk.
Yeah, Power of the Introvert.
The Power of the Introvert. So people are starting to recognize this. It's not something that hasn't been recognized before. Carl Jung, the great psychologist who was a colleague, actually a disciple of Freud, and later became a colleague, and then they became not enemies, but they actually diverged on the way they're thinking. Mm-hmm. A lot of how current pop psychology works is based on Jungian insight. Mm-hmm. NLP, very much based on Carl Jung. Most of the other psychological things like talk therapy and all the ideas of, in fact, Carl Jung coined the terms introvert and extrovert, I believe. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
I think you are, yeah.
And it was part of a four-way thing that he was trying to nail where people were. So there are like four boxes: the introverted, mm-hmm. Perception, and I forget what they are. We don't need to get into it. What for marketers, the idea of the introvert and the extrovert is important, not so much – this show is slightly different – not so much for the people you'll be going after, mm-hmm. but rather for who you are. And what I found out in that Facebook post that I did about a month ago, which I knew intuitively just because I've been dealing with this for so long, most of the copywriters that we know are introverts. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you can't be an extrovert and be a good copywriter, and there are extroverted copywriters out there. But what I knew is that what some people thought of as extroverted people like Gary Halbert, for example, were really introverts who were mimicking extroverted behavior because that's how introverts survive. I forget what people are saying the percentages. Do you remember? Was it like 20% of the population is introverted, or was it even less than that?
No, I think it was more like 40 from what I recall.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
That would be fine. And there are various stages. Some people are really introverted. Some people are not.
Right.
By the way, let's talk about that quick test to see if you're an introvert, because people get confused about what an introvert is or not. So this
right.
quick test is something that I came up with a long time ago. And actually, as I was telling Kevin, is being picked up. They're not picking up for me. I think a lot of researchers have settled on this as a good way to explain it to people. So so even though this is original with me, other people have done the same thing. So the quick test is to see if you're an introvert or not is go to a party or all day seminar, have fun, come home. If you're still pumped, you're likely an extrovert. If you're exhausted from dealing with people, you're probably an introvert. Most folks are a little of both, depending on the situation. The advantage of introversion is being the outsider who studies and adapts the tactics of the natural extrovert. Hmm. Empathy becomes a survival tool for the introvert, which can smoothly translate to top-level writing chops. In other words, the high-end extrovert is almost, and I don't want to put people down, but they're almost thoughtless in the way they work. They like being around people. They're energized by being around people, and they will just chatter. They're good at small talk. They just like being with people, and they get bummed out if they're not around people.
Yeah.
They recharge by going and hanging out with other people and talking and having a good chat.
And
the introvert,
that freaks me out as an introvert.
Yeah.
I mean, they really beat up on introverts without knowing it. Yeah, that's, you know,
they do. You're absolutely right. Which is why a little show like this, I think, will help a lot of people out, as my Facebook page did. Mm-hmm. So many people said, wow, I thought I was the only introvert out there. Introverts tend to denigrate their own skills and their own chops that they bring to the game. The extrovert, so in its worst case, the extrovert can be kind of thoughtless, like a bull in a china shop, and run over people. The extrovert energizes by doing alone time. So the extrovert can go out there and be at a party, have a good time. But when they come back to energize, to pump themselves up, they're going to spend alone time, maybe reading, maybe just sitting and thinking, maybe doing something by themselves. But they very much need to be internal, and they get internalized.
Well, you mean extroverts or introverts?
No, introverts.
I'm sorry. I just want to clarify that.
Okay, so let's clarify that. Extroverts pump up by being around people and are very social animals. Introverts can be social animals, but they re-energize by being alone, by the introversion of going inside. Intro, extro, or the key elements.
You can kind of tell an introvert because if they're in a group or they're having a deep conversation and they walk away, you kind of catch them doing that. Whew.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas an extrovert is just looking for the next person immediately. It's like there's no gap.
Exactly. And what's interesting about this is the introvert, I don't think they tend to be smarter, but they do have the advantage of needing to have survival skills that the extrovert doesn't need. In other words, the introvert growing up, going through school, dealing with society, jobs, all kinds of things, is going to need to learn how to deal with people. Mm-hmm. And introverts are not shy. That's a common misperception. Mm-hmm. They're not shy. They're not anti-people at all. They very much thrive in relationships. They tend to have one-on-one relationships, though. And when they're in a group, the dynamic changes for them a little bit, and they're having to expend more energy to be in the group if they're going to participate, or they may be the quiet person that hangs on. But again, they're not shy. They're not wallflowers. The reason an introvert, and I did this throughout my life. I've been both the guy dancing in the middle of the party and getting everybody else all excited and, causing trouble. And I've been that guy that just stayed up against the wall and just watched everything for the entire 4 hours of the party or the gig.
Right.
And as I'm watching, I'm picking up clues, and I'm just enjoying the show. And it's kind of like these people are performing for me in a way. It's like my own private movie. There's all kinds of things. An introvert is almost never bored.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I don't need a book. I don't need music. I just drove to San Francisco and back. It was 4 hours out there. And I stayed for a couple of days and was 4 hours back. I didn't turn on the radio for a second. I didn't put on a CD. I didn't do anything. I just had conversations in my head, and I was playing music in my head and doing all this stuff. Mm. And I realized, wow, that was, if somebody had been sitting there with me, they would have thought, I'd gone into a coma or something while I was driving.
He's in a trance.
And I am kind of in a trance. Now, the point I want to make, though, is some of the best public speakers out there, some of the best actors in Hollywood, mm-hmm. some of the best rock and roll stars are drop-dead introverts
who
have learned how to how to put up an extrovert. It's not a mask. They just learn the skills of being able to deal with people. It's just they're not getting energized. They got to back off and be alone for some time. And these are the guys like Pete Townsend of The Who, who did all the writing, but he'd go out there and he was the star of the show off and jumping up and down and smashing his guitar stuff. Yep. When he went back, he needed to be alone. You know, and he would write the songs and he did all stuff. And he was the guy behind that. Roger Daltrey was also, you know, the lead singer. He was also an introvert. So
yeah, and they got Keith Moon, who was clearly an extrovert.
Clearly an extrovert. Yes. And in fact, a classic introvert. And a lot of the people that you see who get into trouble with drugs and stuff, you know, are the extroverts who get, you know, because they want to be with people. They're doing with other people. You know, the old thing of that parents tell kids, if your friends all went and jumped off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge? Well, the extrovert would. The introvert could be bullied to do it, but probably the introvert would go, that's not a good idea. Go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt, but would you say that extroverts by rule are less introspective? Or is
can
that
can be.
Yeah.
The extrovert will have to recognize that introspection is valuable, and they could read a book. They could have an uncle or a father or a mother tell them that introversion is good. They could have a good friend who's an introvert, and they realize this. They're quite capable. I don't want to put down extroverts. The world is largely managed and run by extroverts, mm-hmm. but they don't naturally come by this. It's like the advantage. I've been a minority in a lot of ways in my life. I had to, being colorblind doesn't sound like a huge thing, and I'm not going to pretend that I was oppressed or anything, but I was a minority. I was the only kid in my class who was colorblind. I was mocked by my kindergarten teacher who had never met a colorblind person before and didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. So when I colored, before I could read the crayons, I colored little boy blue, purple, and the grass red, you know, she held it up in front of the class and mocked me. And so I experienced that minority position, and that wasn't the only way. There's a lot of other ways that I experienced minority things. Being an introvert, for example, those set up challenges that I wouldn't trade for the world, because for me to adapt, learn how to deal with and get over those challenges made me who I am today. And just as an aside, helicopter parents who refuse to let their children handle any kind of challenges, you know, figure out how to deal with the bully, figure out how to deal with failing a class, figure out how to do stuff on their own. They're really harming their children. The children need to learn on their own. And the more challenges you have up to a point, mm-hmm. it's like what Nietzsche said about that which does not kill you makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. So the introvert, being a minority, even if it is 40% of the average, I think that's high.
It is. It's actually one third. I looked it up while we were talking.
Okay, one third. That makes sense. So 30%. You're still going to, you know, with six people, there's going to be two introverts, there's going to be four extroverts, and the extroverts are going to be like bulls in a china shop again. So the introvert's not going to run the show there. However, I'm going around the block to explain why introverts tend to have some advantages, and the advantages can be profound. First, if they're going to survive, they're going to need to be smarter. They're going to need to use the natural introspection that they have, which can lead to critical thinking, which can lead to thinking more about things and remembering what it was the last time when they thought about something critically and they came up with the wrong answer or a wrong solution, or they didn't come up with any solution at all. So how could they do that better? And they're fine. That they're in their element. They're in their little internal laboratory inside of their brain.
Right.
And they're not only comfortable there, they're happy they're doing that. So over a lifetime, over a career, the introvert is going to be able to take vague, chaotic things like a client saying, I need more sales, mm-hmm. and say, okay, well, let's start thinking about it, and do that critical thinking and doing that. The extrovert is going to do really well hanging out with the client and doing stuff and talking about stuff, but may not have those skills to go in and ruminate the, you know, 40 hours inside their head it's going to take alone to figure this thing out, to get it straight, to deconstruct and figure out what the actual problem is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've talked to a lot of people who I would consider introverts, and we have a thing in common where when you're laying in bed at night after a long day of socializing, you tend to go over conversations in your head, and we're all a bit hypercritical of ourselves. God, why did I say that? I probably came off like an idiot for saying that.
Yep.
But it sounds to me like you're saying you're sort of psychoanalyzing yourself, and you're going, I would tweak that. I'll tweak that next time. So we're sort of constantly improving because it's an anxiety, but it's a productive anxiety.
I distinctly remember a one girlfriend I had. She was my psycho bitch girlfriend who taught me not to go out with those damaged type anymore. Not to put down women. There are certainly males in the same position. But she was a drop dead extrovert, and I hadn't really figured out that we had a long ride in a car, and I was quiet for like an hour. And she was quiet, and I just kind of enjoyed the ride. I was really enjoying it. I felt there was a connection. She later said she stayed quiet on purpose just to see if I would go, how long I'd go before I said anything. And she was, and she used this as a bludgeon of just how stupid, uninteresting, and and you know, worthless I was. Wow. And I realized, okay, this is really not a match made in heaven. So. And that kind of misunderstanding can go, you know, Johnny Carson, I don't know if I mentioned that, you know, drop dead introvert, yeah. You know, a guy who really needed to be alone, but yet was the country's ringleader, you know, let's put on a show. Let's have Johnny run it. He's going to be the guy that figures this stuff out. Yeah. So there's a lot of advantages.
Same way, yeah.
Pardon me?
Letterman, yes. Same way. Intensely private, very, very, introverted.
So there are advantages to being an introvert. And I think one of the things that happened with this blog post or this post I did on Facebook was it a lot of introverts had been in the minority and not connected the idea that they're not alone, but they, you know, they kind of think they're alone. Maybe they're in a family, they grew up in a family where they were the only introvert, or they married an extrovert, mm-hmm. and they're in this. So there was a sense almost of, wow, I'm not alone. And you know, Kevin, all of our colleagues, our copywriters, I'm looking around. I don't think there's a single extrovert in the bunch. And we hang out with the A-list of copywriters, and they're mm-hmm. all introverts.
Yeah.
And they may not have sat down and thought about it, but there was a sense of relief from people when they were commenting on that Facebook post that, wow, I'm not alone. Not only am I not alone, but you're right. There are advantages to this. And if you ask an introvert if they'd want to change, sometimes they'd say, yeah, I wish I had more extroverted qualities. But then again, you look at things, you know, Dan Kennedy, another introvert, you know, killer speaker, overcame, you know, a stutter to be able to become one of the top, you know, public speakers in the world.
Right.
You know, I'm up there. And in that post, it was interesting, in that Facebook post, a couple of people said, you know, Carlton, you're not an introvert, are you? And it's like, duh, yeah. Yeah, I'm like way off the scale. And that, you know, so it's like, I'm not shy. I'm not dumb. I'm not socially retarded at all. I can be the center of the party. I can get up and speak in front of any number of people, and I have no problem at all. But when I get off that stage, I'm going to talk with people, and I'm going to get out, and I'm going to go back to my room and sit down and go, whew, and recharge by being alone.
And it's interesting that you're the only guy I've ever seen tell an audience – particularly when you're hosting an event, you'll say, look, do not talk to me on breaks.
Right.
And you explain for that reason. I need to recharge. Yeah. I've only got 10 minutes to do it. Nothing takes a minute. Like, you're going to come up to me and say, I just need a minute.
Yeah.
And
that's so,
funny. And people respect that. I mean, do they,
yes.
Can they resist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I made it part of my, I mean, this is a career piece of advice, but you know, my career was based on when I was younger, I was the young punk at the table, and then I became the marketing rebel kind of guy. And then just kind of that guy who's kind of gruff, and people, you know, I joke about making people cry during hot seats. You know, people have cried. But they were going to cry regardless. I don't take joy in that. But I position it so that I'm a hard ass, and I'm a hard ass to your benefit. If you will listen to my hard ass advice, it may not be what you want to hear, but it's going to be the truth, and it's going to help you if you follow through on it. That's a very powerful position. So people actually embrace that at these things. You know, they'll accidentally talk to me, and they'll stand back horrified, go, oh my God, I can't believe I just tried to talk to you during a break. And so you kind of have fun with it. And in truth, I do talk to people on breaks occasionally when I feel I've gotten that charge, you know, mm-hmm. and it can take 5 minutes for me to get recharging and come back into it. And mm-hmm. guess what? I enjoy it when I come back to the meeting and I re-engage with the group. If I can recharge, mm-hmm. it's enjoyable. So people, extroverts have a wrong view of introverts. Introverts, if they think that their introspection and their critical thinking skills and stuff are not an advantage, are ignoring huge advantages. Whether you're a writer, a marketer, whether you want to get into public life, you want to be a politician, you want to be anything, those skills are, if you don't have them, you got to hire somebody who has them. Yeah. So the entertainer has to have an agent who is pretty much an introvert, yeah, or a spouse. The politician needs to have assistants who are introverts, who are going to do the internal thinking work that needs to be done. So for me, it is an extroverted world, but the introverts are the ones who wind up in positions of power or influence. And that's where the power of the pen comes from. You know, the hardest thing for an extrovert to do when they want to write, and again, you don't need to be an introvert to be a copywriter, but most of the good ones I know are, because it's a natural set. They didn't have to get over that thing of an extrovert is going to bristle at just being alone in their office with just them and the monitor. I love that. I sit down and I think, God, thank God, nobody's going to bother me. I can close the door. It's me and the monitor and I'm going to write.
Right.
You know, I'm in heaven. And you have to think the extrovert is going the other way.
I think what happens is extroverts are just so practiced at being more conversational, savvy, you know, because they're constantly, like you said, talking and engaging. An introvert goes back and analyzes it and thinks it over, and so it makes them more self-conscious, right? So it only widens the chasm between the two types.
It does, in the way that almost any difference that has. You know, in my high school, it was about 40% Latino and 40% Caucasian. And, you know, a large number of my friends were Latino, and I just never thought about it because we all got along really well. Mm-hmm. And there was one Asian guy, and he became my best friend. So it wasn't diverse, but it was diverse in that we didn't play this out. So when I started encountering other people who, or I'd hear from my friends, my Latino friends, that outside of the school thing, they were experiencing challenges, you know, being a Latino in a Caucasian world. Mm-hmm. And it was news to me, and it took me a while to understand it, but I was very receptive to it because I understood. And, you know, they went through things that put whatever I was going through as a, you know, colorblind, you know, introvert, you know, into perspective. You know, that was like first world problems as opposed to some serious problems.
So do you see all people as sort of like a beige, being colorblind?
It would be, it'd be good if I did that. Yeah, that's a total misconstrued. It's not really colorblind, it's color deficient. I'm red green. I see 10% of the red and the green that you see in the world. So, so it's not quite what people think. And it's pretty funny that I live, you know, I've been with Michelle for 13 years now. She still describes how to get somewhere by going down, turn right at the yellow house. So what street is that? I don't know. It's the yellow house. And I can see yellow, but if it's the blue car is going to be in front and there's a gray car across it, you know, you're killing me here. And she thinks it's my fault for being, that I'm doing it to bug her. You know, it's, you know, we joke about it. Yeah. But these challenges, the whole idea of the challenge being what makes you who you are, I think is very, very important. For the extrovert, I mean, in the simple writing system, I wish I'd had this insight sooner, but what we were doing as all the teachers were introverts. I think, there might have been a couple of extroverts in there, but most of them were introverts. Mm-hmm. So you were trying to teach what were often extroverts taking this course to how to write for their own stuff.
Good
basically
point.
Teaching them how to be introverted. It's like, sit down. It's going to be you and the piece of paper staring down the piece. And for them, they're thinking, that's the most horrible thing I can think of. And you're thinking, why is that such a big deal? You know. And we had to get past some of that stuff. Yeah. Many of the things in the simple writing system, the first five lessons that you go through are about basically, that's introspection. It's like getting inside yourself using empathy, which for an introvert is much easier to come by because we're always looking at how the world works and saying, well, if I'm going to be able to be a public speaker, I better adapt some of the things that my extrovert friends have, which is being chatty, being conversational, being able to talk, you know, not being nervous and things like that. So we use that. The extrovert doesn't always have those challenges as they grow up. So if they're going to be a writer, they can be a writer, but they've got to face that alone time. You know, they really say, you know, come on, can I have a writing partner? No, you really can't. You know, the final thing, somebody's got to sit down alone and get this out.
Right, right. Even, you know, one way we help them in the sort of gathering stage is say, find someone to interview you. If you're that much more comfortable talking, record an interview.
That's a great point, Cal. I didn't even think about that. That was adapting to the extrovert a way to look into what the introverts do without needing that. That I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
that's
workable solution. But, you know, like you said, at some point, somebody's got to take that still and apply the tactics. And that usually means sitting alone and doing it, you know.
Right.
I think the ultimate probably introvert gig that balances both sides would be, say, like a television journalist. You know, they have to perform for the camera. But in order to be a reporter, I think you have to have those introvert qualities that we're talking about. You have to really study human behavior, and you have to make the connections between why a guy's acting that way and what he's really saying and what he's up to. I think pure extroverts, I don't know that the guy at the desk, you know, is pure extrovert, but because obviously he's got to be have all those same skills. He's usually the director, you know, the executive producer as well.
Right.
But, interesting. I'd say that's you know, every journalist has to have those crossover qualities, and every journalist is expected to be a performer on some level at this point, right? Because, you know, the old days of turning in your report and having it appear in the paper, it doesn't really end there anymore.
What you brought up is very, very important. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier that I think people should remember is that introverts are socially adept. They tend to like to have single friends, though. They like going out. They like having a best friend and going out and doing stuff. So if their perfect social situation would be having – and this is the way I've always had, like – friends or road dogs or things like this, the people I could count on who would also respect my introversion, and often were introverts themselves, or at least respectful of this. Jack Kerouac, you know, was a famous introvert, famously went around and had his good, you know, a single good buddy. He'd hang out with Ginsberg, or he'd hang out with
Cassidy.
Moriarty, yeah.
Neil Cassidy.
Neil Cassidy. And that famous buddy thing, you know, the Buddy Road movie. Right. You look at a Buddy Road movie written by an extrovert, there's going to be five guys as the main characters. You look at one written by the introvert, it's going to be two people.
right.
This is very interesting. Now, you, I would like to, you know, thinking back to your time on the stage as a stand-up, you know, from an introvert's point of view, I know that a lot of some of the best comics that came through were introverts, like George Carlin, you know, people. But then there were also Steve Martin, a drop-dead introvert. Yet you must have come across some extroverts, like the Smothers Brothers, I think, were examples of extroverts. I don't know. Maybe I'm dating myself with that reference. Bill Cosby, I would suspect, as an introvert, had great extrovert qualities. Richard Pryor, I believe, was an extrovert. Needed to have people around him.
I think Robin Williams is probably a classic extrovert.
Yeah. So you didn't have to think about that, but you got to see the guys behind the stage. So the guys who went out and wowed the crowd, and then afterwards, did some of them just need to go into a room shut themselves off, and did others want to hang out at the bar and just keep the vibe going?
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of patterns that we've discussed here. The extroverted guys, you know, they were a real workout to tour with. I mean, because just so needy. And like you said about driving, I mean, often you'd have to drive 3 or 4 hours, you know, 3 days a week to the next gig, and you're doing these one-nighters. And that's your only companion in the world. It's like the old West. You don't know anybody else. And, you know, if a guy's getting on your nerves, just won't shut up for the whole car ride. or if he has really shitty taste in music, that was always challenging too. Hey, you like Sting? Oh, God. trying to turn you on to Muddy Waters, and you're countering with Sting. But my
best friend in high school, Art, I'm still good friends with, and we used to take road trips, and we would get on the road, and we actually drove to South Dakota one time from Los Angeles, and we went. I was actually paying attention. We would go 6 hours without saying a word.
Wow.
Yet it was very pleasant. We just enjoyed each other's company, but we defined each other's company as just presence, as just being there. And I knew I could count on if I needed to. If there was something to say, we would both engage, you know. And but we'd have long periods of silence. And you know, I've been with people who just, you know, as I mentioned, an hour of silence would drive them bonkers.
Yeah. The challenge for comics is that people, of course, expect you to be extroverted and funny. And those numbers, I bet, are flipped. I bet it's like 60% are introverts with artists. Because, again, you have to have that introspection to come up with the joke, right?
Right.
Otherwise, you're just the jester.
Or you steal the jokes, as, you know, probably those extroverts that we know about who will remain nameless, you know, are extroverts, and they steal stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think introverts do much stealing.
No,
so.
Right. Yeah, because they're always creating and they're, they have integrity.
All right.
But
I think we kind of nailed it. I'd like to hear any other thoughts yet. But for me, I think we really kind of nailed this. And again, my goal was to let other introverts out there know that you're not alone, that you are providing not just valuable services, but possibly the most valuable services in a increasingly intellectually based culture and economy. And even in the past, introverts have exerted influence and leadership in ways that were totally misunderstood. And it's like we've been flying under the radar. So it's like, you know, introverts unite. Mm-hmm. And for the extroverts, you better start paying attention to what it is that the introverts do that you're not doing. What I interrupted you. You're about to say something, Kevin.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I was going to talk about more of the parallels. Like you talked about dealing, I think you mentioned extroverts maybe dealing more with addiction issues and stuff like that, just because they're the life of the party and they're always on the go. And that was certainly the case with a lot of performers I knew who were extroverts. It just, you know, they were always looking for the party. They were always waiting on some guy who probably wasn't going to show, you know.
The band, waiting for the man.
They would get to town and immediately know where the hookup was. And you know, and the introvert's just going, wow, you talked to all those people since we got here? That must be, you know, I got to go nap just hearing about it.
Yeah.
But
And then there were characters like Sherlock Holmes, who's a fictional character, but Sherlock Holmes was a drug addict. I don't know how many people here have not read Arthur Conan Doyle's books, but he was an opium addict, but he did it to shut off the introversion. Mm. And that's a famous reason why I know a lot of guys who have had addiction problems, either alcoholism that they got by, you know, they became non-drinkers, or they dabbled in drugs in the wrong way. But they all said the same thing. It was to shut it off, to shut off the noise in their head, to get some respite from the rumination and essentially the introversion. So they do it for different reasons rather than, you know, to speed it up, to take things going. They want to shut it off.
Right.
That's probably some kind of vague insight. I'm not sure what to do with that information.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting nonetheless. But yeah, so I think this is cool, and now we're being helpful with our psych insights. We're starting support groups over here, and you know, it'd be really cool to have you know, sort of a side conversation about this on the blog. People of course know that they can find us at pi4mm.com, Psych Insight for Modern Marketers, pi4mm.com. And, you know, we post up the shows and there's a little comment section over there. And John and I are always very engaged and we love hearing from you. So if you're listening in the car or at the gym or whatever now, please stop staring at that girl and make a note to go over to the blog and leave some comments, because it's always fun to chat.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the value of the shows, you know, are single issue things that really, you know, are something you can wrap your head around. And I think the profundity of this insight belies the ease in which we're able to explain it. This for me, if somebody had told me this when I was in high school or junior high or even grade school, you know, made it clear to me that I wasn't alone, that it was, that there may be challenges, but they weren't negative, and that the skills I was using were actually advanced skills. I mean, you know, the person trying to adapt is always thinking, I'm trying to adapt because I'm weird and wrong and I need to get right. And that's the wrong way to look at it. The other way is that, hey, life is all about adaption, you know, and learning to roll with the punches and use your strengths and fill in, you know, put, you know, make your weaknesses into strengths or make them not weaknesses anymore. So, okay, I think that's great. I think we can do a wrap on this one.
Yeah, man. Great stuff. All right, John, always a good time, and we will be back soon, everybody. So again, PI, the number 4mm.com. Come say hello to us, and we'll see you again soon.